Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
How would we set it up if we were building it from scratch? How would we set it up not to adjust for the modern game, but to be centered around the modern game? And we've made already made some structural and leadership changes, and we'll continue to make more adjustments as well. You're likely to see a director of hitting and a director of pitching join the organization to ensure that we are building these departments, teaching the game, evaluating players for where the game is now and where the game will be going. Make sure we continue to be at the cutting edge.
That's Theo Epstein from September. Our producer Mike Chen reaching back and grabbing that as Theo set up some of what was going to happen in the offseason, and now it has happened. This hour on The Score is brought to you by the Illinois Secretary of State's office. Visit www.realid.ilsos.gov. Time to go to the Alpimonte Ford hotline, Alpimonte Ford in Melrose Park.
As we bring in the director of hitting for the Chicago Cubs, Mr. Justin Stone, nice enough to take some time out on a Saturday morning to join us on Inside the Clubhouse. Good morning, Justin.
Good morning, guys.
So Elite Baseball, at Elite Baseball, let's talk about the genesis of how you became the director of baseball hitting for the Chicago Cubs. Talk a little bit about Elite Baseball, what it entails, what it incorporates, and how long you've been doing that.
Sure. Yeah, our company's been around for about 10 years now, and I've always had an interest in combining science with baseball. And that's kind of where my coaching career began 20 years ago. I was a full-time assistant at Indiana State University, and I started my master's degree program in human kinetics. So it was just being at the right place at the right time. My coaching career has evolved as technology has evolved, and I've kind of always been lockstep and key with that. And over a period of time, after spending a little bit of time being the White Sox general manager at the Bull Sox Training Academy, I really started diving into 2D video analysis and then 3D motion capture. And I knew at some point I was going to start my own technology-infused baseball company. And I did that 10 years ago at Elite Baseball Training. So it's a combination of trying to continue my education, of studying combined with my coaching experience, but always trying to see what's next. What can we push forward in hitting and science and merging those together? So I've consulted for a number of technology companies as well that have tried to get into baseball with the influx of just information into our game today. So that's advantageous too, because once you consult for those companies, the major league team wants to learn how to use it or how they can apply it. So before working for the Cubs, being a consultant, I was also a tech consultant for several different major league teams, and that's kind of brought us to where we are today.
So it's getting at this business, at this industry from a lot of different angles, which makes sense. There's a lot of stuff that is very confusing, even to people who are interested, like us. Force plate, K-vest, bat sensor, movement screen. What would you tell us, what are one or two of your favorite tools these days to use as you try and educate hitters?
Well, they're all small pieces of a larger puzzle, and though I weigh certain pieces of it more than others, it still goes back to quality of human movement. And I think what we've done a long time in our game is did a lot of surface comps. This player looked like that player, so we think he's going to play the same way. And that couldn't be any further from the truth. When you have to get underneath the surface of the player and see their unique movement capabilities and then match the patterns of their throws or their swings to that, and so that's where the scientific process goes into it a little bit more, where you're going to test getting under the surface with first a movement screen, and then you can apply the technology to see if that movement is efficient or not for that player. So, for instance, if you have somebody on the looser end of a movement spectrum, think of it like a big move like Josh Donaldson, or if you can picture King Griffey Jr. in his heyday, he had a ton of torque, a ton of what we call hip and shoulder separation, and it was very violent, whippy, and aesthetically pleasing. Well, those are players on the looser end of the movement category, and they're going to have a way different move in their swing than somebody like Alex Bregman, who we would assume to be a tighter mover, much more short, compact. Some people will call that max effort or violent. And one is not better than the other, but if you put Alex Bregman's move on King Griffey Jr. and vice versa, it would be a disaster. That's a train wreck. So there's a lot of hit and miss in that if you're trying to eyeball this and say, let's try this. What the technology allows us to do is be a little more certain on where to start with a guy to make sure that we are matching up their moves in the batter's box to their movement capabilities.
Let's take a prime example of a Cub player, Justin, if you can and if you will. Let's just look at maybe Javier Baez and how some of your technology has worked and what you're doing with him, if that's not giving away too many of the trade secrets right now.
Yeah, we'll hold off on that right now for the fact that...
How about a player like Javier Baez?
How about Gary Sheffield, which is a comp we used to hear.
And that's a good point. I mean, you know... We don't have to delve into the Cub players because that would be giving up too much, I guess, at this point. But let's say you have a high strikeout guy that comes into the league, and you know that he has some of the flexibilities of a Baez or a guy like Ken Griffey Jr. Where would your technology take you with a guy like that?
Yeah, that's a good question, because that does come up from time to time when I'm evaluating players for different reasons. And sometimes the answer is, this is just who he is. So a player on the looser end of the spectrum has a high risk reward payout. And what that means is, with a long, think of like flexibility and mobility, placing a rope right in the center of your body. A player with high movement capabilities has a longer rope. And think of that like a pitcher. Mm-hmm. For years, we want long, loose, lanky pitchers because they have very long ropes in the middle of their body that can produce more whip. Well, for a pitcher, that's advantageous because there's no time constraint. For a hitter, there's risk-reward. So for the hitter, we can produce more whip, which means the whip and torque of their swing will outplay their musculature, which means a player that's even smaller can create more exit velocity than a player just with muscle mass.
Got it.
But the downside of that, because the rope is longer in the middle of their body, it takes them longer to get up to full speed, and they have to start committing to the ball sooner. So what would you assume with those type of players? High reward, they're going to hit a lot of home runs, but they're going to have more swing and miss in them because they got to start the move sooner. So strikeouts are going to have a tendency to be high on those type of players. And that's just who they are. You're not really going to change that.
Is there an ideal common goal for hitters on the big league level in terms of we used to hear about the barrel in the zone for as long as possible or speed, or now we obviously hear about the plane of the swing, the angle of the swing. Is there a common desirable goal?
Yeah, the quality of contact will always reign, and there's certain characteristics of bat path of which we call just maintaining the purity of the arc, and that really starts when we first launch the swing. So if there's any error in the initial launch and first move, there's going to be compensating moves in that swing path throughout the rest of it, which means it's going to cut out of the zone early. So you have to identify the initial flaw to get the end result you want. Trying to correct that at the ball-bat collision, which is historically what coaches have tried to do, we see the bat's cutting out of the zone, so I'm going to try to fix that when the ball is hitting the bat. But the original error caused that compensating flaw at contact. So that's where the technology allows us to go back in time and isolate that error.
For the untrained mind, can you tell us what Kyle Schwarber accomplished in 2019, what he might have been doing before that, and what he's doing now being toward the end of the year where he was an accomplished hitter, hitting the ball hard to all fields, you know, obviously laying off of some pitches that were getting him out before, but, you know, kind of growth chart of his player development within the realm of his swing.
Well, I can't speak.
Sorry, we lost you for
Justin,
a minute.
Justin, do we have you?
I think you cut out. We might have to make a new connection with Justin.
Let's see. Is he still there? We'll check and see. Right. If not, we'll call him back.
Yeah.
I don't know if he can talk about...
He's going to tell me he's not breaking down any more Cub players
for us. Well, maybe not Schwarber specifically is where I think you were going, Justin.
Yeah, so like I said, it's probably not best for me to comment on a player that I haven't right. worked with personally.
Well, we're talking about big success here, you know, so go ahead.
Correct. What I will say on that yeah. is Anthony Iaposi and I have a track record that goes way back. We're both – there's kind of a circle of hitting coaches in big league baseball that have all stemmed off of a larger tree. And mm-hmm. I think of Andy Haynes, who was right. a college roommate of mine, now right. the Brewers. And Anthony and I used to talk shop 15, 20 years ago with John Bailey, who were all very close. So what I can tell you is that we're going to be very aligned in the approach we'll take. And you kind of look, as the director of hitting, you're kind of a manager of a department, right? And you think about what the manager does for a big league team on a day-in, day-out basis with players of all different skill sets. And it's putting those people in the right place to succeed and using their successful traits to build a bigger unit. And I think that's what Anthony and I will do on the hitting side. Mm-hmm. We have a whole lot of good coaches with unique skill sets. It's part of my job to put them on the right seat of the bus and have them feed off each other.
My bad for asking about a Cub player again. I know better.
Well, so you're trying to lure me into that in your first interview, Bruce.
No, I'm really not, because what I was concentrating on is the success of what we've seen already. You know, with guys like Schwarber, not what they're trying to do to improve themselves from here and beyond. But I understand you have to protect, you know, that type of intelligence as well.
Something that Schwarber has done so well over the last 3.5-4 months of the season is change the approach with two strikes. We've watched Anthony Rizzo do this and be brilliant at it. I feel like looking around the league, so many sluggers are asked to also then become contact guys in certain situations. And some people can some people just simply not, because of the mechanics of their swing? I can't figure out if sometimes it's a willingness or a selflessness that's not there, or if it is mechanically near impossible for some folks.
No, it's possible. It's and this is an interesting question, because, and again, I can't speak to what Joe did with the entire hitting piece of it, because I wasn't a part of that. But I know with David Ross being hired, and he spent a lot of time in the front office in the first couple of weeks after his announcement, mm-hmm. and he would just bounce in my office, and of course I would just start a flurry of notes, because I wanted everything to be in his voice, not mine, because he's the manager and that's what we're trying to get to. But we put an emphasis on, I said, David, what do you believe in a two-strike approach? What do you want me to voice to the hitters? And it was just that, like, when do we have to shorten up, change maybe my mindset of a hitter to get a good B swing off that is still going to be valuable to the team. And there's still going to be strikeouts in there. And for certain players, yes, the mechanics are, we know ahead of time, are going to lead them to having more strikeouts. But there is a mindset that goes along with a two-strike approach that I know David really values.
As far as Rep Soto, could you explain that machine? I'm going to try to buy one for Matt for the holidays. Is it going to cost me? Can I get one for $39.99 somewhere, like Best Buy? Or?
Under $4,000?
Yeah, can actually. Yeah, $3,999.
So explain the machine and the technology of it.
Sure. So it's basically just a, think of a sonar ball tracking. And the common terms you're going to hear off that are the same things you hear on TV: exit velocity and launch angle. And those are very important, but I'm looking at more of how the ball-bat collision produces spin, mm-hmm. and I can learn a lot about the path of the bat by looking at the spin coming off of the bat. So whether that's the spin axis, which it measures, mm-hmm. think about that of a clock. If I get true backspin versus side spin, and we use the hours of a clock to define that, and then the spin rate. I'm trying to keep the ball spinning with backspin within a certain parameter, because – in, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago and more, we were trying to create backspin as much as we could, because a backspin ball will play more, but only to a degree, because you can actually mishit the ball with a tremendous amount of backspin and it's not advantageous. So we're trying to keep guys into a good spin realm, and I can look at the batting practice reports or in-game reports and tell you what's happening with the path of the bat based on the spin. That's a very valuable tool for me.
I've heard people talk about contact point, like trying to connect, have that collision be in front of the plate. How does that relate to launch angle? Are those concepts is symmetrical with each other, if that makes sense?
Yeah, you have to match up contact point with where a player gets connected in the zone. So that's going to be different from player to player, too. And this is something that we have to be careful of, especially when we have younger, sometimes pro hitters, they say, well, I heard Josh Donaldson talk on TV, and he's trying to catch everything a foot out in front of home plate. Well, that's good for Josh Donaldson because maybe he gets connected, and connected means my body rotation and my hands are working in unison with each other, and they're turning as one fused unit. So a player that does that more over home plate will want to catch the ball out in front to do their damage. But there are some players that get connected very deep in the zone. And if I get connected deeper behind my body and I'm trying to get the ball out in front, as a right-handed hitter, those are just 6-3 rollovers all day. So we have to make sure that we're matching up the mechanics of the player, the physiology of them, and then factor in their approach of where they should be attacking the ball.
Obviously, there are some players who will sit in front of you, Justin, and be completely overwhelmed by this and not have it register, and it's not the way they need to get the information. It was interesting the way you said when David Ross comes in, you're taking notes because you want it to be coming in his voice. Is that part of the mindset here in terms of communicating this stuff to players in a way that they can internalize it?
Yeah, no doubt. You have to build trust with a player, and trying to show them how smart you are is never going to win them over. My philosophy on that is give the player as little as I need to give him to get him to do what I need him to do. And I know that can sound tricky coming from a guy that has a biomechanics background. But again, remember the background I'm coming from. I'm stepping out to do this interview right now working with the 10 and 11-year-olds in a class. So I really think it's teaching in the off season.
Yeah, you need to use a wood bat more often too.
We hear the ping.
You probably hear the ping in the background.
Yeah.
Right? But really, think about teaching a child of something that's as complex and explosive, dynamic as a hitting swing. And I think you get very good skills at learning how to articulate your message when you teach youth players that don't have much of a skill set yet.
At Elite Baseball, Justin, tell us a little bit about how people can get in touch with you and get in with Elite Baseball.
Oh, thanks. The website is elitebaseballtraining.com, and then we have a lot of video content that we put out on elitebaseball.tv.
We appreciate the time, and even my prodding into your private business was done with class and respect. I appreciate that.
Bruce, I love talking hitting, and I don't really have any other skill sets. I said I'd be the greeter at the Dollar General or Walmart. I didn't do this. So anytime you want to talk hitting, I'm available.
We appreciate it, Justin. Best of luck in the new position. Congrats, and we'll talk to you sometime down the road.
Thanks.
All right. Justin Stone, Director of Hitting for the Your Chicago Cubs.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.